In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Phew. After that gospel lesson, maybe I'll just say amen and go home. The Bible, you knew I wasn't going to do that. The Bible is a series of stories and some wisdom literature mixed in and some songs and other things. And the Bible talks about God, but it also talks about us. And perhaps more importantly, it talks about God and us together in community. All of those stories, some seemingly easy to understand, some very mysterious, all tell about how it is that we are related to God. And one of the big words that comes up in there that helps us to say what it is that exists between us and God is the word faith. And I want to today talk a little bit about how good the Bible is at describing faith in words other than faith. Because for us, faith is a mystery, is it not? The Old Testament and Gospel lessons for today feature water as a prominent part of their stories. In the lesson from Exodus, the people complain to Moses that they are thirsty and there's no water in the wilderness to which he has led them. And in the Gospel lesson from John, Jesus has an encounter with a Samaritan woman at the well of Jacob. In both stories, it's clear that water is an important part of the lives of the people involved and perhaps has more meaning than we see on the surface. As I hope you will see, it is terribly important, not only to the stories, but to all of us as well. I want to expand our thinking about water to see that in Scripture, water is more than simply H2O. It is, in fact, one of the key symbols used to encompass our understanding of God and our relationship to God. In fact, I hope when I'm through that you will come to view water in the Scriptures as a synonym for faith, so that when you read all of the other Scriptures that talk about water, you can more easily perhaps substitute that word faith and see a little bit more about what it's talking about. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's talk some more about water first. If we start at the beginning, which of course is the first chapter of Genesis, we find that the very first of the newly created description of the newly created earth is that it was a formless void with a wind from God sweeping over the face of what? The waters. Water was there at the beginning. And then after bringing light out of the darkness on the first day, God on the second day gathered together the waters under the heavens and let the dry land appear. Even the earliest explanations of how we came to be begin with water first, and everything else follows from that. It's an amazingly scientific understanding for primitive peoples to have concluded, is it not, that everything came from the waters? It does seem to jive with how we've come to understand scientifically the origins of life on our home planet. Now, add to this understanding of water as the stuff of creation the reality of our utter dependence on water for sustaining our individual lives. Human beings are on average 70% water and 30% other stuff. And we all know that we lose a lot of that water every day through normal processes and must replace it regularly or we will die. We cannot do without water. We can do without food, but we cannot do without water for more than a few days. So water is not only for the beginning of life, but it's absolutely essential for the continuance of life. The Israelites in our story from Exodus knew that just as well as we do today. So here comes the first leap I'm asking you to take with me today. As Christians, we understand that faith is essential to our lives, not only in a spiritual sense, but also in a very real life sense. Without faith, we perish, just as without water, we perish. And so I want you to begin to think about how water is a wonderful analogy for faith and begin to interchange the words as you play with Scripture. Just to play with some of the key phrases that we've come to know from our biblical training, remember the people of Israel passed through the waters of the Red Sea in order to gain their new life after slavery in Egypt. The people then desperately needed water in the desert to sustain them for the journey to the promised land, just as we need it to sustain us as we journey toward the promised kingdom of God. St. Paul tells us that it's through the waters of baptism in faith that we are justified and able to live our new life in Christ. And so in the same way that life emerges from water, life also mysteriously emerges from faith. And in the same way that water is essential to the sustaining of life, so too faith is essential for the sustaining of our lives. Let's go a little deeper. Pardon. Implication. We'll go a little deeper into this use of water to talk about faith. We speak of having faith, but I think that faith is not something that we have so much as that it's something that we are in. Just as I cannot reach into my pocket and pull out faith that I claim to have and show it to you, I cannot hold water in my hand without it simply running off my fingers, dripping onto the floor, and going on to some other use. I can say that I have faith within me, just as I can have water within me, but it can only be viewed obliquely, not directly, not so tangible, more mysterious. Faith is often spoken of in Scripture alongside of hope and love. And while we can say we have hope and we have love, it is, like faith, perhaps more accurate to say that we live in hope and we live and are in love. That is, our life is surrounded by faith, hope, and love, the way we are surrounded by water when we swim in it. And while we're on the subject of swimming, I keep jumping to these other things. Try this on. When Jesus talked about being born through the water of baptism, perhaps we could also speak of being born up, B-O-R-N-E, born up by our faith. And yes, I know that the English words come from different roots, but allow me to have a little poetic license here and go ahead and use born and born together. While we're looking into born and born, consider this. Living in faith, like being borne up by water, is often easier when we relax and float with it, rather than panicking and struggling against it. Okay, enough of the parallels between water and faith for the moment. Let's get back to Jesus' encounter with the Samaritan woman to see a way he uses water, or more specifically, the way the evangelist uses water to explain Jesus. He asks the woman for a drink of water from the well, and she's astonished that a Jew would ask for a drink. Then he says a curious thing. If you knew who was asking, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. And then she reminds him that he has no bucket, and the well is deep. So where will you get this living water? And Jesus says, whoever drinks from your well will just get wet and will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water that I give will never be thirsty again. Because the living water, which by now you may be guessing that I'm thinking faith, will gush up from within you into eternal life. In the context of what I've said so far this morning, I would suggest that the evangelist is using this story to point out that while both the Jews and the Samaritans argued forever, it seems, about where was the proper place to worship God, either in Jerusalem for the Jews or in the Holy Mountain for the Samaritans, the life within Jesus, spoken of here as living water, is about to become the only place where God can truly be worshiped. This living water can be equated with faith, which is the only real context for the true worship of God. This story is presented to us during Lent, because historically, Lent has been a season of the church year when people were prepared for and reminded of their baptisms. So as you consider this story, I suggest that you remember your own baptism and remember that it was done with water as the sacramental element. And that a sacrament, of course, is the outward and visible sign of an inward and spiritual grace or gift. That is faith. Water equals faith. And you might also consider that water is the sacrament or sign of that faith through which you were brought into the fellowship of the church and the communion with God. The close connection between water and faith is shown most clearly in the words of the service of baptism in our prayer book, when we thank God for the gift of water. It says, over it the Holy Spirit moved in the beginning of creation. Through it you led the children of Israel out of their bondage in Egypt into the land of promise. In it your Son Jesus received the baptism of John and was anointed by the Holy Spirit as the Messiah, the Christ, to lead us through his death and resurrection from the bondage of sin into everlasting life. When I was in England on pilgrimage a couple of years ago with some of you, we visited many churches and cathedrals which placed the baptismal font strategically in the center of the main aisle of the church on the way in order to emphasize to all who entered that the way into the life of faith within the church was through those waters of baptism. Or another way of saying it would be that to live in the church is to live in that faith symbolized by those waters. As you and I journey again through this season of Lent towards the celebration of the resurrection of our Lord, I wish you all a greater appreciation of the centrality of water and the faith that it symbolizes, that gave you life and sustains that life within the kingdom of God. And when you think of that water, faith, remember that when you are in water or faith, it helps to keep moving towards the promised shore and the safety of the heavenly home. Swim on, good Christians. Amen.